All right, so it looks like we got a pretty hefty stack of stuff about monotheism this time. We're going deep on where it all started, how people actually believe, and looks like you threw in some curveballs too, some faiths that that worship one god that I bet most people have never even heard of. Should be fun.
It's a fascinating concept for sure, and to think about how much it's shaped, well, everything really. Human history, civilization. I mean,
Really is wild when you think about it that way. But before we go too far, let's make sure everyone's on the same page here.
Oh, of course.
Monotheism, belief in one God. Simple as that.
Yeah.
That's what makes it different from polytheism, where people believe in many gods.
Right.
And of course, it's a whole other thing from atheism, where there's no belief in any God, or agnosticism, which says we can't really know for sure.
Exactly. And it's important to remember that this idea of monotheism, it didn't just pop up overnight. It's been a long and winding road with different cultures and thinkers adding their own interpretations and ideas along the way.
So where do we even begin with all this?
Well, our sources take us all the way back to ancient Egypt, about 1350 BCE or so. We've got this pharaoh Akhenaten who actually tried to enforce monotheism. He promoted the worship of Aten the sun disk as the one true god.
Whoa, hold on. So he basically tried to rewrite the religion of a whole empire.
That's one way to put it. Yeah, he even tried to wipe out the names and images of all the other gods.
Talk about a power move.
Wow, I wonder what his motivation was there. Was it just about politics, you think, or was there a genuine spiritual element to it?
It's tough to say for sure. It was definitely a turbulent time in Egypt, lots of social and religious upheaval going on. So focusing on Aten as the top god might have been a way for Akhenaten to consolidate his power, establish a new order, but it didn't really stick. In the end, after he died, Egypt went right back to its old polytheistic ways.
So it's almost like we see these little glimpses of monotheism popping up here and there throughout history, these early hints of what was to come, even before it became this dominant force in world religions.
Exactly. And another one of those glimpses comes from ancient Persia with Zoroastrianism. Okay, I've heard of that one, but I don't really know much about it.
Well, they worshipped a single god, Ahura Mazda, and a really interesting part of their belief is this concept of a cosmic struggle between good and evil. An
Wow.
idea that would end up influencing later religions like Judaism, Christianity, even Islam.
So even in these early examples, we see that monotheism is about more than just believing in one God. It gets tied up with these big questions about good and evil and the meaning of existence.
Absolutely. And that brings us to Judaism, which is often considered the first of the major monotheistic faith. It's been around for over 4,000 years, which is just mind-blowing.
That's incredible. But it's interesting to me that even in Judaism, the path to monotheism wasn't always a straight line. Some of their own scriptures suggest that early Israelites may have practiced polytheism too.
That's right. There's a gradual shift over time with different names for God emerging. And a really key moment in this shift was the Babylonian exile in the 6th century BCE.
So being forced out of their homeland actually made their monotheistic belief stronger. How does that work?
Well, imagine it. The Israelites are ripped from their homes, their temple. They're living in a foreign land, facing incredible hardship and uncertainty. So they're forced to really grapple with their identity, with what they believe in.
Makes sense.
And it seems like this experience really intensified their focus on YHWH, their one God, as this source of strength and hope in the face of all this adversity. It was during this time that Jewish scholars and priests really solidify their monotheistic beliefs, making the idea of one God the central pillar of their faith.
It's like going through a fire and coming out the other side with your beliefs even stronger, more refined, you know.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And that commitment to one God is crystallized in the story of Moses and the Ten Commandments. This pivotal moment marks a real turning point from earlier practices and cements the worship of YHWH.
It's funny because we hear about the Ten Commandments all the time, but it's easy to forget just how important they were in shaping the course of history. It's about so much more than just a set of rules. It's about this unique relationship between the Israelites and their God, the foundation for what we call ethical monotheism, right?
Yeah.
You got it. It's this idea that belief in one God isn't just about acknowledging that he exists. It's about living a life that reflects that belief, a life guided by the principles and values associated with that God.
And that idea, this link between faith and morality, would go on to have a huge impact on other religions that followed.
Without a doubt. And that leads us to Christianity, a faith that grew out of Judaism but ultimately forged its own distinct path.
It's amazing how these two religions are so closely connected, sharing a common root but branching out in different directions. So how did Christianity end up diverging so much from its Jewish origins?
Well, a key difference lies in the figure of Jesus Christ. Christians believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but figuring out exactly what that meant caused some major theological debates early on.
Which brings us to the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD.
Hmm.
Right, I've read about it, but it's all pretty complicated. What was at the heart of all the disagreements there?
The council was called to address a bunch of different doctrinal issues that were dividing the early Christian church. But a major sticking point was the nature of Jesus. Was he created by God, as some people believed, or was he begotten, meaning he existed eternally alongside God?
So basically, the question was, how divine was Jesus? Was he a being that God created, or was he truly divine in the same way as God the Father?
Exactly. And in the end, the council affirmed the divinity of Jesus, laying the groundwork for the doctrine of the Trinity. This is a core concept in Christianity that really sets it apart from Judaism's strict monotheism.
The Trinity, one God existing in three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's definitely a mind bender. It's been the subject of debate and interpretation throughout Christian history.
For sure. The Trinity really highlights the complexities and nuances that can exist even within monotheistic belief systems.
And it sets the stage for the rise of Islam in the 7th century AD. We're talking Mecca, the Prophet Muhammad, and a revelation that changes the world. The Quran revealed to Muhammad stresses the absolute oneness of Allah. There's no division, no plurality in this conception of God, which makes Islam's monotheism arguably the most strict and uncompromising of the Abrahamic faiths.
And Islam sees itself as the final and complete revelation within that Abrahamic tradition. It builds upon the foundation of monotheism laid by Judaism and Christianity, but offers its own unique set of beliefs and practices.
Exactly. Take Islam's 5 pillars, for example. They shape the daily lives of Muslims all over the world, emphasizing the importance of both faith and action.
Right. We've got the Declaration of Faith, prayer, fasting, charity, and pilgrimage. It's a comprehensive system that guides both what you believe and how you live.
It really shows how monotheism can manifest in different ways. It's not just about personal belief. It can shape entire cultures and ways of life. But you know what's really interesting? Monotheism isn't limited to these major religions.
Oh, I know what you're getting at here. Our research shows that it pops up in some pretty unexpected corners of the world. It challenges our assumptions about where and how this idea takes hold.
Absolutely. Get ready to have your mind blown, because we're about to go beyond the familiar territory of the Big Three and explore the surprising reach of monotheism across the globe.
Okay, so we're back and ready to explore some of these more obscure examples of monotheism that you mentioned. Where do we even begin?
Well, we talked a little bit about Zoroastrianism earlier, so maybe we could dive a little deeper into that one.
Yeah, okay. Zoroastrianism. It's ancient Persia, right?
Mm.
And they worship Ahura Mazda.
That's right. Ahura Mazda is their one god. But there are some interesting differences between how they see him and how God is conceived of in the Abrahamic faiths.
Like what?
Well, one key difference is the emphasis on duality in Zoroastrianism. Ahura Mazda represents everything good and pure, but he's constantly battling against Angra-Mainyu, who's like the embodiment of evil.
So it's not just about worshiping the one god, it's about taking sides in this cosmic fight between good and evil.
Exactly, and humans have free will in this struggle, so their choices actually matter. It's a pretty powerful concept that emphasizes the moral responsibility that comes with believing in a single, all-powerful god.
Wow, that's heavy stuff.
Okay.
So what about Sikhism? How does that fit into all this?
Sikhism is another fascinating example. It was founded in the 15th century in the Punjab region of India by Guru Nanak, and it draws inspiration from both Hinduism and Islam, but it definitely has its own unique flavor.
So what makes Sikhism's approach to monotheism so special?
Well, Sikhs believe in one God who's formless and timeless, and they call him Wahiguru. They really emphasize meditation, selfless service, and living an ethical life guided by principles like honesty, compassion, and social justice.
So once again, we see the strong connection between believing in one God and striving to live a moral and ethical life. Mm-hmm. It's not just about the belief itself. It's about how that belief shapes your actions and how you treat others.
Absolutely. And Sikhism also stresses the equality of all people, no matter their caste, creed, or gender, which is something that sets it apart from some other faiths.
It sounds like Sikhism is really embracing the social implications of monotheism, working towards a more just and equal world.
That's a great point. Now let's shift gears and talk about the Baha faith. This one's a bit newer. It emerged in 19th century Persia.
You mentioned earlier that the Baha faith is all about the unity of all religions. Can you explain that a bit more? I'm curious how that works with a monotheistic belief system.
It's a really interesting idea. Baha'is believe that all the major religions are essentially different chapters in the same book, different revelations from the same God throughout history.
So instead of seeing different religions as being in competition with each other, they see them as all contributing to a greater understanding of the divine.
Exactly. Their goal is to promote unity and peace among everyone, regardless of their religious background.
That's a pretty ambitious goal, but also a really inspiring one. It reminds us that even though we might have different beliefs and practices, we're all connected by our shared humanity.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Okay, so we've touched on a bunch of different monotheistic faiths. Now, Judaism, Christianity, Islam, Zoroastrianism, Sikhism, the Baha faith. Each one has its own unique history, beliefs, and practices.
It's amazing to see how diverse this idea of believing in one God can be. But are there any common threads, any underlying connections between all these different faiths?
Absolutely. One of the most obvious links is Abraham. He's considered the patriarch of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, which is why they're often called the Abrahamic religions.
Yeah, it's pretty mind-blowing to think about the impact one person can have across thousands of years.
No kidding. And that shared ancestry is reflected in their scriptures too. The Torah, the Bible, and the Quran all have stories about Abraham and his descendants.
So even though each faith has its own unique set of scriptures, there's a common narrative that runs through them all, linking them together.
Right. And despite some differences in the details, those narratives tend to emphasize similar moral lessons. The importance of faith in God, obedience to his will, the value of family and community, things like that.
Beyond these shared stories and figures, are there any commonalities in how these different faiths are practiced?
For sure. Prayer is a central practice in all three Abrahamic religions. It's a way of connecting with the divine. And they also all practice fasting, although the specific rules and reasons for fasting can vary.
And what about charity? Does that play a role in these faiths?
Absolutely. Giving back to the community and helping those in need is a big part of many monotheistic traditions. It's about recognizing our shared humanity and extending compassion to others.
So even though these religions have evolved in different ways over time, they still have these core practices in common that shape how their followers live their lives, how they interact with each other, and how they engage with the world around them.
Exactly. It's like they're all branches of the same tree. Each branch has its own unique shape and bears different fruit, but they're all connected to the same root system.
I like that. That's a great way to put it. It speaks to both the diversity and the underlying unity of these faiths. And let's not forget about the huge impact these religions have had on culture. They've influenced everything from art and music to literature and architecture.
You're absolutely right. And their festivals and holy days are woven into the very fabric of societies all over the world. They provide a sense of belonging, tradition, and shared identity.
Yeah, think about holidays like Ramadan in Islam, Yom Kippur in Judaism, Easter, and Christmas in Christianity. These celebrations go beyond just religious observance. They become cultural touchstones that mark the passage of time and bring people together.
They enrich our lives in so many ways. They connect us to our past, to our communities, to our shared human experience.
It's amazing how religion, and especially monotheistic faiths, can shape not just individual beliefs, but entire cultures and civilizations. We've barely scratched the surface here. There's so much more to explore.
That's for sure. We've talked about the what of monotheism, but now I think it's time to dig into the why. Why has this idea of believing in one God resonated so deeply with humanity across different cultures and throughout history? That's a question worth pondering as we head into the final part of our deep dive.
We've really gone deep, haven't we? I mean, we've traced the roots of monotheism, how it's changed over time, and even where it pops up when you wouldn't expect it.
It's been a wild ride for sure, from ancient Egypt to modern day movements. It's incredible to see how this one idea, believing in a single all-powerful God, has taken so many different forms.
Yeah, we've definitely covered the what of it all.
Yeah.
You know what monotheism looks like in different faiths and traditions. But now I'm really curious about the why. Why has this idea stuck around for so long? Why is it that for thousands of years, people have been drawn to this idea of one God?
That's a really deep question. And honestly, it's one that scholars have been wrestling with forever. There's no easy answer, but there are some interesting theories out there.
Well, lay them on me. What are some of the reasons why monotheism has been so appealing to people across time and cultures?
Well, some folks think it's got to do with the practical side of things. You know, a unified belief system like that can help hold a society together. Everyone believes in the same God, follows the same moral code, makes things easier.
Yeah, that makes sense. If everybody's on the same page, it's got to be simpler to make laws, settle arguments, keep things running smoothly.
Exactly. But then there's the psychological angle, too. A lot of people find comfort in the idea of a single, all-knowing, all-powerful God who's looking out for them.
Right. It's like having this ultimate parent figure, someone who loves you unconditionally and supports you no matter what, especially when life gets crazy and unpredictable.
That's it. Monotheism can give you a sense of meaning, a sense of purpose.
Yes.
It ties your own little life into this grand cosmic story.
It helps you understand where you fit in the universe, what your role is in God's plan, why your actions even matter.
Exactly. But we can't ignore the downsides either. I mean, history's full of examples where monotheism has caused conflict and division.
Yeah, that's the dark side of it. When people start thinking that their God is the only true God, it can lead to all kinds of problems. Intolerance, persecution, even violence against people who believe differently.
It's sad, but true. We've seen so many religious wars and conflicts all fought in the name of one God or another. It reminds us that even the best intentions can get twisted and used to justify some pretty horrible things.
So where do we go from here? What's the lesson in all of this?
I think the most important thing is to be thoughtful and open-minded when it comes to monotheism, and really any belief system. Hmm. We have to acknowledge both the good and the bad, the ways it can unite people and the ways it can divide them.
And we have to be willing to have those tough conversations with people who see things differently than we do to try and understand each other instead of just arguing or judging.
Well said. At the end of the day, we're all human beings trying to figure out what it all means, you know, trying to find our purpose and connect with something bigger than ourselves.
And maybe that's the core of why monotheism has been so powerful for so many people. It's this idea that there's a single unifying force that connects us all, something that represents ultimate truth and goodness. It's something that speaks to us on a deep level, whether we're religious or not.
It's a powerful idea, no doubt about it. It's shaped human history and it still affects our lives today. As we wrap up this deep dive, I encourage you, the listener, to think about what you've learned and what monotheism means to you personally.
What stood out to you? What questions are still swirling around in your head?
Yeah.
Keep exploring, keep asking those questions, and keep digging for those answers. Thanks for joining us on this incredible journey into the world of monotheism.